This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. If you'd like to join our conversation in our remaining time with George Morris of The Advocate, who's become the preeminent military scholar and writer in our state, 877-217-5757. And this is the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And George, this is noted as perhaps the turning point. There were a few turning points in the war, but certainly this was one of the more substantial events of World War II and in the 20th century, what happened on this date 75 years ago in Normandy.
Well, I mean, no question, it was pivotal. And part of it, just the sheer scope of it. I mean, think of this. I mean, 150,000 people were landed either by airdrop or by amphibious forces, you know, plus all of the ships and the planes and everything that went into it. It was just an unbelievable logistical deal. I mean, imagine taking every man, woman, and child in Lafayette and moving them across a body of water. Just the logistics of that, and while under fire in bad weather.
And they kept it secret, too. Imagine what this would be like with text messages today.
It'd be very hard. Of course, today, and also with satellite imaging and stuff like this, I mean, they could not have kept everything hidden. But
it was delayed for 24 hours.
By weather, yes.
And another delay was considered and even advised. But Dwight Eisenhower said, let's go.
Maybe the most important weather forecast in the history of weather forecasting.
Yep. He made a lot of good decisions, President Eisenhower did, and now is remembered as one of the great leaders of the free world. And it became famous in World War II, and then a decade later was President of the United States during some interesting times. But this was an event that was certainly helped by the great work in New Orleans. And Stephen Ambrose said that Ike, President Dwight David Eisenhower, number 34 on the honor roll, said that what happened in New Orleans may very well have determined the outcome of the war.
Well, of course, you're obviously referring to Andrew Jackson Higgins, the inventor, the creator of the landing craft that were used so significantly, not only on D-Day, but of all the D-Days, of all the amphibious invasions of the Pacific Islands and in Sicily and in Italy and all that. But yeah, he had developed a craft that could handle very shallow water, that was still maneuverable, that would not get that was just so far superior to what had been used. And one of the fascinating things about that was that the people in the Navy, when he brought this design to them, had fought it. It did not come from one of the big East Coast shipyards that they favored. And it took some – actually, Vice President Harry Truman oversaw a commission on, you know, on war procurement. And that commission sort of kind of forced the Navy to give his stuff a fair test, and ultimately that proved to be a monumental decision.
Yesterday I said that less than 10% of Americans living today were alive in June of 1944, and I looked it up. Actually, only 7% of the people in the U.S. are over 75 years old, so there you go. But another listener asks about which was more deadly, the June D-Day invasion or the Battle of the Bulge, which was a German offensive that came later in the year, and I'm trying to get the information. U.S. lost, 2,500 in D-Day, and Germans lost somewhere around 9,000, and in the Battle of the Bulge, the casualties, I think, were even greater, George.
Well, of course, you're comparing one day to a Battle of the Bulge that lasted for literally weeks. And so, I mean, at what point do you run the numbers? I mean, if you're talking about a one-day battle versus a multi-week battle, obviously the multi-week battle is the likeliest to have greater casualties.
Yeah, the Bulge was 16 December of 44 to 25 January of 45. And the U.S. and its allies. Well, just the U.S., 89,500 killed, wounded, or missing. Germans, 63,222 believed killed, 98,000 in the other category. So it was probably as many people died in that battle as almost as many people as did in Vietnam, which lasted more than a decade.
Well,
so it was a brutal battle, but what happened in June was a prelude to that. And could the U.S. have won the war and its allies? Could they have won the war without success on this day 75 years ago?
Well, that's one of those wonderful what if type questions, and it's kind of, I think, impossible to really work backwards and figure out all the possibilities. I mean, ultimately, the fact that technically a second front, really a third front, because by this time Americans were already in Italy, working their way up that peninsula, forced Germany to counter that. Stalin had been begging for another front almost from the time that the Germans turned on him in Poland, but obviously every German that was fighting in the West could not be fighting in the East, and so it certainly would have prolonged the war, and it very certainly there may have come a point where the Soviet Union would have simply sued for peace if there were not some effort on the other side to.
Now, you've been writing about military veterans now for a couple of decades or close to it, and how did this passion evolve for you, George?
Well, it really started when I was a kid. Of course, growing up, there were a lot of in popular television shows. There were shows like Combat and 12 O'Clock High and of course, there were the humorous shows like Hogan's Heroes and
the same vintage and McHale's Navy.
And McHale's Navy, and when I was in sixth grade, there was a book in our reading section in our classroom. It was on the fighter planes and pilots of World War II. Picked it up, and that more than anything else hooked me. And I just came very fascinated with it. And so when I moved from sports to features at the newspaper in 1992. All the 50th anniversaries, other than Pearl Harbor, of American involvement in the war were coming up, and I approached the editors about seeing if I could find some of the veterans. And just, I had no idea how to find them. I didn't know, had no idea what I would find, who I would find, what their stories would be, but I had to figure that there would be really interesting stories. And it was just, it was more than I could have imagined.
Well, and the 50-year anniversary in 1994, the president of the U.S. was a draft dodger in Bill Clinton, and now on the 75th anniversary, another draft dodger in Donald Trump. In an interview yesterday with Piers Morgan, he said, "I was never a fan of that war," speaking of Vietnam. "I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a terrible war. I thought it was very far away. At that time, nobody had ever heard of the country." Well, somebody had to take Donald Trump's place when he got those six draft deferments, and George Morris, it is interesting, the last 27 years, the only president or vice president to be in a war was Albert Arnold Gore, and he was a journalist, but he went, and these others, they chose not to, and in most cases went to great lengths to stay away from harm and then had the authority to send men and women off to war under their watch. Is that fair?
Well, it is what it is. I don't really want to get too deep into my political beliefs. I think the newspaper would prefer well, not, because I don't really cover
this. This clearly isn't a liberal conservative. We had a Democratic president and a Republican president who both decided not to serve.
Well, I mean, in terms of just, again, you're asking me kind of sort of about what my personal political philosophies or governmental philosophies. I'd rather not really get, dive too deeply into that. I will say that I have the utmost respect for all who have served. I did not. I did not avoid the draft.
You came in right at the end in 55.
When I turned 18, I went to the draft office in Augusta, Georgia, and received a draft card with the status of 1H holding. We weren't drafting anybody at the time. So
okay.
There you go.
Ed, south of LSU. Ed, you're on with George Morris.
Yeah, Jim and George, I wonder if y'all saw Ernie Pyle's account of the D-Day landing in the New York Times.
Ernie Pyle, his account. I have not seen that, Ed. What was this is Ed Cullen, by the way. What was most interesting?
The thing that will strike most modern readers is how graphic it is. He writes of the soldiers being mown down as they came ashore. I think.
All right, we're short on time, but. Steven Spielberg did a pretty good job with Saving Private Ryan, a graphic film, but it was not a G-rated episode, was it?
Well, no, it wasn't, and it is well that it wasn't, because so much of what has been depicted, so much of what you and I saw in movies and television depictions growing up, was so sanitized. I mean, someone would be shot, and there might be a small stain on their shirt, and that's not what war was. It was a horrible, horrible thing.
George Morris, we appreciate what you're doing, and you have a website. Go ahead, for those who'd like to read more about what he's done.
www.thebigoneone.com. I've compiled a lot of the veterans feature stories that I've written.
Thank you for joining us. Back tomorrow. Stay tuned.
My pleasure.